Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you. It is a beautiful day. Thank God for another day of life He's given us and an opportunity to be together in His house. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 15 this morning. John chapter 15 as we look today at the Word of God. I'm glad that we have the Word of God, especially in these days that we're living in. And I'm glad that we have strength. The source of strength for us as we look at it and find the answers to our questions that we have in life. And I'm glad today that we have opportunity to open it together, too, as well as individually. Thank you for being here today. Bless you have a good day today for being in God's house. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this gathering. Each one is here now, Lord. I just pray, Lord, as we come together and we open your word, may the Word of God be for us today what we need. And Lord, we know it will if we'll accept it and, Lord, rely upon it. So, Father, may the Word of God now, by the Spirit of God, do for us, dear God, today what needs to be done to help us to be what we ought to be for you until Jesus comes. Bless those that are traveling, those that are sick. Lord, help them to be able to be back with us the next appointed time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 15. Oh, look today. You know, if you're determined to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, there's one thing for sure. You're going to be targeted by Satan. You're going to be targeted by Satan. And I'm glad today to know that not only did my Savior love me enough to die for me, He proved that on Calvary. But you know, as I look at His life while He was here on this earth, as He journeyed and as He taught and as He ministered to people and met people's needs and all this, we see in Him the example for us while we are here in this world also. And we're going to look at some of that today and look at the world and how the world responds to us as God's children. You know, we're living in the last days, that's for sure. And just look around us and see all the things that are taking place. And we know that it can't be long. I thought 30, 40 years ago it can't be long, but I know it's closer now than it's ever been. But I'm glad today to know that even in this world that we're living in, our Savior has given us the assurance that He is with us, first of all. He knows what it's like to be in this world of ungodliness. He was here. He lived here for his ministry for three and a half years, but 33 plus years. And we have in the Word of God examples, and God is trying to enlighten us and encourage us to help us to realize that why the world is the way it is and why the world responds to us the way they respond to us. They reject us. They neglect us. They criticize us. They all do all kinds of things to us and around us. And there's reasons for that. And we'll look at some of those reasons today as we look in John chapter 15. We're going to be looking at the believer, the relation of the believer to the world. Now, in John 15, there are three different things Jesus is talking about here. First of all, in the first 11 verses, He's talking about the relation of the believer to the Lord Jesus, to Him. Then we find in the next verses, 12 through 17, He's talking about the relation of the believer to each other. And in the last part of this chapter, He's talking about the relation of the believer to the world. To the world. And we'll look at that today and look and see what Jesus has to say. Look again, if you will, in John chapter 15. I want to read verse number 15 first of all. John 15 and verse 15. Now this is Jesus speaking. Henceforth I call you not servants. Now for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you what? Friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. I'm glad that Jesus is my friend, I'm His friend. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and cares to bear. You know, we take everything to the Lord Jesus Christ in prayer. What a precious friend we have in the Lord Jesus Christ in this life. In this life. And we see this here as true. You know, relationships are very important. They're very important. And my relationship and your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is most important. Most important relationship we have in this life. And we find here that Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. He's trying to inform them and enlighten them. As you go into this world, you're going to see people that are not like you. Okay? You're going to see people that don't act the way you act. They don't talk the way you talk. They don't love what you love. And you're going to be, if you're not careful, I want to pre-warn you, because I don't want you to be shocked. I don't want you to be scared. I want you to know that this is the way the world is. This is the way the world is. Now, when I speak of the world, I'm talking about the course of the world system. I'm talking about unbelievers. Unbelievers that are in the world. Not that you don't know this, but unbelievers are different from believers. If there's not a difference, we're not, our light is not what it ought to be. We're not what we ought to be. And therefore, we find that the Lord Jesus is trying to instruct his disciples here of this very fact. Now, these people in the world is different from you. The world is different from you. And I say that to us as Christians. The world is different from you. And expect it to be that way. Don't be shocked. Don't be perplexed, because people in the world are different from the way you are and the way I am, if we are what we ought to be. We find that Jesus never intended, when he was here on earth, to live an isolated life. He wasn't that kind of individual. He went about in the whole world, meeting the needs of people. He cared about everybody. He wasn't an isolated individual. Now, we as Christians, we cannot be isolated in this world that we live in. And I'm glad that we can't. And as we are out in the world needs a light, folks. The world needs somebody to be different. Why not be different? I count it a privilege to be different from the world. We see here it's very, very important. But on the other hand, we find that the Lord Jesus does draw a line between the believers and the unbelievers. There is a difference. There is a difference here. Now, Jesus here is stating here the attitude of the world. He's stating it again to warn the disciples about what they're about to go into, what they're going to meet when they go into the world. In this passage of Scripture right here. People of God, we're taught to hate sin and to love the sinners. I mean, that's what we should be doing. Hate sin and love the sinners. Because we all are sinners, aren't we? And therefore, if we find that, that should be what we're, that's what we're to be doing. Now, notice in verse number 18, we find here Jesus is speaking again. And we find here a hatred of the world for his friends. Now, remember, in verse 15, he says, he called you what? Friends. He called you and I friends. And now we find here in verse 18, we're talking about Jesus is saying there's a hatred of the world for his friends. That's us. Notice in verse 18, if the world hates you. Now, if the world hates you, notice what it says. You know that it hated me before it hated you. If the world hates you, you know the world hated me before it hated you. We find here that this is the reason for hatred. Jesus recognized it. It's a reality. It's going to be a reality to you disciples as he tries to comfort them at this time. And he shared with them all the things that the world is going to do to them as they go into the world. First of all, know this, disciples. The world is going to hate you. The world is going to hate you. I want you to know that. I don't want you to be shocked today. You know, we listen to the news, we read the papers, and we see all the tragedies and all the ungodly things in the world is going on. Well, folks, this is why. This is why, first of all, the world hates Christianity, period. The world hates God. The world hates God's people. And the world, through Satan, is trying to do everything they can to hinder us and discourage us to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we find Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Now, notice the reasons for this hatred. Notice why the world hated Jesus, why the world is going to hate us. As believers, we find this here. First of all, their unwillingness to accept believers. The world does not like believers. In fact, the world today will be glad when we're gone. They'd be glad when we're out of here. And you know what? So will we. So will we. But they do not like believers in this world. Because when the lost people get around believers, God, through His Spirit, will speak to His unbelievers. And it brings conviction upon their lives and their hearts and their minds. And therefore, we find they can't stand it. But there's an unwillingness to accept believers. We find this. It hated me, Jesus said, before it hated you in verse number 18. We notice why. Why is the world unwilling to accept believers? We find this in verse number 19. Look at verse 19. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now we find why. What's the reason why the world is unwilling to accept believers? First of all, because believers are different. Believers are different. There should be a difference, again, in our lives as Christians today. The world should be able to see that. It should be known that we are different. Your neighbors, if they didn't go to church today, probably they know every week that you go somewhere on Sunday morning, and they probably speculate that you go to church somewhere or another. They know that about you. You're gone. You're gone. And you're not going to be at home on Sunday morning, Sunday night, nor Wednesday night, the Lord willing. Therefore, we are different. They are different. Verse number 19 tells us that. Now, not only that, are they different, but they are disciples. In other words, Christians are disciples. Now, a disciple is a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 20. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my sayings, they will keep yours also. So we find here that they are different. The servant is not greater than his Lord. The servant is not greater than his Lord. So we see here the hatred of the world for his friends. The reason for that hatred is simply that they're unwilling to accept believers. And number two, in verse number 21, look at it. They lack of experience or knowledge. Verse 21 says, But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Why? Because they know not him that sent me. They know not him that sent me. First of all, the world hates Christians, Jesus' friends, because they're unwilling to accept believers. And number two is because they lack the experience or knowledge of knowing God. They don't know God. They know nothing about him. And that's our responsibility to share and to tell and try to inform them about God in their lives. So we find here they have the lack of experience. Now, what is the result of this hatred? What is the result of this hatred? Look in verse 22. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. The results of that hatred. You know, how in the world is it possible today for men to fail to appreciate the goodness and the love of God through Jesus Christ? How is it possible? But it is. It is possible. Men do it every day. Men do not love the Lord Jesus Christ. Why should the world hate men who were a man who was willing to follow his servant? How does the world hate you as a Christian, me as a Christian, who are willing to follow their Savior? How is it they do that? Why do they do that? That's the results. That's the results of hatred. Now, who Christ bless, the world curses. Who it is Christ bless, the world will curse that individual. Now, why is that? There are basically four reasons why. There are many reasons, but I'm going to give you four today. Why is it whom Christ blesses, the world will curse? They will curse. Number one, because there is a difference in nature between the world and the followers of Jesus Christ. I've already said this. There's a difference in our nature. I'm glad the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new what? Creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. There's a difference in our nature now. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Thank God for that today. There's a new nature within me. Number two, the reason why whom Christ blessed the world hateth or curseth is the disciples, they were closely related here to the one that was rejected, Jesus Christ. When you are closely related to someone the world rejects, you can expect hatred. You can expect hatred. The world rejects Christ today. When you are a follower of Christ and the world sees that, they're going to reject you. They're going to reject you also because you are one of his followers. Also, another reason is the conviction of sin when Jesus' message is brought upon the world. Nobody likes to be convicted of our sins. Therefore, when Jesus preached and taught, the people were pricked. Their hearts were pricked. They were troubled because of the word of God that he brought forth, and they were disturbed by that. And then we find that Jesus himself was the exposure of their sin. Jesus made their sins own. Remember the story that Jesus had with the woman at the well in John 4? He exposed her sin. He exposed her sin. And because of that, we find that she trusted Christ, you see. The only way a person is going to get saved is our sins have to be exposed. We have to recognize that we're lost, that we're a sinner. And then we can trust Christ as our Savior. So we sign here that there's the results of this hatred. The world hates you. The world hates me as God's children. And we need to be aware of that. We also see that the Christian has a new nature and a new aim in life. Our aim in life is different from what it used to be. The world's aim in life is to have a career, to have this, to have this, to have this. Our aim in life should not be that. Our aim in life should be to do what God wants us to do with our lives, because we're not our own. We're bought with a price, the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that God wants me to do with my life? And what is it God wants to do through my life? That's most important. That's most important. The world does not understand our motives. Nor feel comfortable in our presence. In our presence. I'm sure you have witnessed that in your life, and I have too. Jesus accepted the hatred of the world. He's trying to help his disciples to understand that they must do likewise as a consequence of following the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, we can't think about what it's like today. We've got to focus on what it's going to be like in eternity. In eternity. What little persecution that we go through in this world is nothing compared to the joy that's going to be on the other side. On the other side. We don't go through any persecution. Now notice the effects of Jesus on the world in verse 24. We'll go to verse 22 again in verse 24. His effects on the world. Verse 22, he says, if I have not come and spoken unto them, they had not had what? Sin. A tremendous effect Jesus had upon this world. If he had not come, we would have not known our sin. We see also in verse number 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other men did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. The world hates to hear about their sins. But the world needs to know about our sins. We need to know about our sins. And that's why Jesus came. See, Jesus accepted this. He accepted this. Now, the words and the deeds of Christ shown how evil men were. The deeds, what he did. What he did and what he said revealed to mankind that we are sinners. All of us are sinners. We also see that his presence made their sin deliberate and inexcusable. His presence made their sins inexcusable. We also see that men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are evil. Our deeds are evil, folks. We're evil people. We're evil. There's evil within us. And we find here this is the effects of the Lord of Jesus on the world. Now, notice the hatred of the world for the Father. Look at verse 23. He that hateth me hateth my Father also, Jesus said. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. Now look at verse 25. Verse 25 says, But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. The world may hate me and have a cause, but the world can't hate Jesus with a cause. They can't hate him with a cause, because he come to seek and to save the lost. He come to die for mankind. The world will hate you. The world will hate you. You know why? Verse number 19 tells us, because you do not belong to it. You don't belong to the world. That's why the world hates you. We're pilgrims passing through. We're strangers in this world that we live in today, folks. We're strangers in this world. The world will hate you because you do not belong to it. The world will hate you because you belong to Christ. All you got to do is say, I'm a Christian. And I tell you what, the people will frown, run, say sarcastic things. They'll respond somehow in a negative towards you if they find out you're a Christian. They'll do that. Also, the world will hate you because they know not God. That's the primary reason they don't know God. They don't know God. They don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And therefore, they will respond this way. Now, okay, the world hates me. World hates you. Now, how are we going to counteract this attitude? How are we going to counteract this attitude and do what we ought to do for God while we're here? Even though, when people hate you, what do you do? What do you do? What's your attitude? How are we going to respond to this? Well, notice in verse 26. Verse 26 and verse 27 tells us how to counteract the attitude of the world. But when the Comforter is come, now, who's that? Holy Spirit. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. First of all, we find the witness of the Holy Spirit of God. He will help us counteract the attitude of the world. Can you imagine trying and living in a world as wicked as it is without the Holy Spirit living within us? You could not do it. It would be impossible. Therefore, God is giving us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to live within us, who is powerful because he's come from the supernatural to incite and convict, to show the reality of the unseen Father through us. You are a witness to the world of what God has done for you in your life, because of the Spirit of God that indwells you. He enables you to do that. Also, we find the witness of the disciples. They knew. The world knew that the disciples were different people from those in the world. They were different. There was a testimony of that, because of their life, the way they lived. Everyone knew what those men had been. They knew all about them and could see what they became through personal contact with Jesus Christ. That's why they had hatred. But yet we find this is how we can counteract that. Listen, you know what I used to be, and you see what I am now. It's not about me. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. Therefore, there's a witness there to the lost world that God can save people, and God will make people different when they are saved. They will be different when they are saved. So we find here this attitude. Now, living a life of faith in a hostile world, that's what we're trying to do, right? Trying to live a life of faith in a hostile world. Now, how do we do this? We know that as the world grows on, intolerance of Christianity Christianity is going to grow also. There's more pressure today on the church to compromise than ever has been today. To compromise. Compromise. Why don't you be like everybody else? Why do you have to stand? Why do you have to stand? Why don't you just compromise to be like everybody else? There's a lot of pressure today on this. Let me say two things to you. Number one, first of all, the church can never be accepted by the world without compromising the truth of God's word. It can never be accepted of the world. The world is going to always hate the church. The world is always going to not dislike the church because of the stand that it takes upon. And thank God it ought to be that way. I trust and pray that this church will ever always be that way. Always stand upon the word of God. Regardless of what the world says, what the world tries to convince us to do, we've got to take a stand. We've got to take a stand. The church can never be accepted by the world without compromising the truth of God's word. Our message will always offend people. It's going to offend people. Even though it's given in love and in kindness, it's still going to offend people. You remember before you got saved, when you were in the church, you heard the preacher preach, did it hurt you, offend you? Yes, it did. Amen. Thank God it did, amen? Because it helped us to see who we were. We were sinners, we were lost, and we needed a Savior. That's what the world can't see today. They can't understand that, you see. May the Lord help us with this. The world will hate Bible believers. The world will hate us. The world will hate us. But we can't lose, we can't close out the world when God commands us to let our light shine. We're still to let our light shine in this world which we live in. This world is dark. This world needs a light, folks. This world needs something that's genuine, something that's real, something that's true. Need people that are true. We know there's none in the government, we know that for sure. We need someone that is true. Sin is so watered down today, made light of. Sin is called things today, what is not really. It's kind of like, I think it was Abraham Lincoln asked a congregation of people one time he was talking to. He says, how many legs does a sheep have if you call the tail a leg? How many legs does a sheep have if you call the tail a leg? Well, some people said five. Which, that's not true. See, you can call the tail a leg, but the tail is still a tail. You can call sin something else, but it's still sin. It doesn't change. It's still sin. And that's where we are today. The world is calling sin everything but sin. Everything but sin. Therefore, we have to take that stand. Tolerance in this culture which we live in is a myth. It's fictitious. It really is. And worse than that, tolerance is a smokescreen, folks, to stop churches from spreading the gospel. That's all it is. Tolerance. Shame on us. God help us. The answer to a culture which hates Christ is not to downplay the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's to magnify Him. It's to lift Him up. He must increase, I must what? Decrease. I must decrease, you say. Shame on us that we do that. The second thought I want to give you in closing today is we can never please the world without giving up what it takes to make us a Christian. We can never please the world. We can never please the world without giving up that which makes us a Christian. That which makes us a Christian. See, we are a target for Satan. Brother Albert, Satan can't doom you. He can't send you to hell. Because you're saved, right? But you know what he can do to him and to me and to you? He can discourage us. He can mislead us. He can cause us to do things that would not bring honor to God. He can cause us to do that. It will allow him to. So what are we going to do? Number one, as Christians, we must do our part to preach the gospel, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's our part. That's our job, folks, is to tell the world about our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, even though the world hates us. It's our responsibility, it's our job to be a witness to people in the world. Number two, we must pray for our leaders. We must pray for our country and take every opportunity we can to share the message of Christ with them. Our leaders are in a mess. Our country is in a mess because of our leaders. If they had the wisdom of God, the world wouldn't be in the shape it's in. But we need to pray for our leaders. The Bible tells us to do that. That's the most important thing we do to them, do for them, is to pray for them. And when we pray, we can see God do things for them and to them and through them that we will be surprised about. The most important thing we can do to America today is to pray for our leaders and every opportunity we have to share the gospel with people. And finally, pray for revival. You don't hear much about revival. Revival is a past word nowadays. But folks, we need revival. We need every kindling of the Spirit of God amongst us. We need to sense His presence, His power in our lives. We need to see it through the drawing of the Spirit of God and speaking to the hearts and lives of people that are lost when they come to church. And God drawing them to the altar to be saved. We need revival. You know, life is going to soon be over for me and many of you. And probably for all of us, because the Lord's coming soon. I believe that. But until then, we need to occupy. We need to do our part. We need to do all we can in this world in which we live in to tell people about our Savior. Even though the world hates us, we're to love the sinner. You know, I'm amazed. I'm amazed how much Jesus loves us. Whenever I look around today and I see the things that are going on in this world that I thought I would never see in my life, but yet I see God is still allowing people to have the opportunity to hear the gospel and to be saved. He still loves us. He loves us. Jesus knew His disciples were going to go out into a world, and He knew that whenever they faced the world, they were going to be shot because they were going to be mistreated, they were going to be hated, they were going to be despised. All kinds of things were going to happen to them. And He wanted to pre-warn them of what they were going to face. And He wanted to remind them, I've already been there. The world hated me before it hated you. And you know, the world may hate me, the world may hate you, but the world doesn't hate me and hate you like it hated Christ. There's no comparison, folks. There's no comparison. And how in the world can the world, people in the world, hate somebody that loves them so much that He was willing to leave glory, the splendors of glory, to come on this earth and become a man? And encounter all the agony, the sin, all the reproach, all that He endured for them. And yet the people in the world today still reject Him. How in the world can that be? What love? The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus loves this world. I trust today that God will enable me and enable you to love the people in this world today. I'm talking about our leaders. You know, I say this in respect. Sometimes we get caught up talking about them too much. And we need to pray for them more. They're human beings. They get up. If they're men, they put their pants on just like I do and you do. They stumble and fall just like we do. We need to pray for them. more than anything else. We need to pray for them. We really do. And trust God to do something in their life. Listen, I can remember the times, brothers and sisters in my life, not long after I was saved, people in the church would get together and pray for people that were lost. I mean, sincerely pray for them. Not just one time, but many times. And I have seen God work in people's lives, and because of the faithful prayers of God's people, those people got saved. Listen, is God not the same today He's always been?
Yes, He is.
He hasn't changed. We have, but He hasn't changed. And I believe God is able to do for those people in the world today that are lost what He did for us. And we need to pray and trust God for that. And God would help this world to be a better place. We know it's going to wax worse and worse. We know that's what Jesus says, okay? But until then, until Jesus comes, may God help me and may God help us together as a body of believers to do everything we can to love the people, the souls of mankind in this world, because they need a Savior. They need a Savior. And we are to be that light. And may God help us. Yes, the world's going to hate you, Jesus says, but remember this, it hated me before it hated you. Father, we thank You for it. Today, we thank You for the Word of God. We're thankful, Lord, that we're reminded by the Lord Jesus Christ of where we're living and, Lord, what we're going to face. But we're thankful for the Holy Spirit that indwells us to enable us to be what we ought to be to mankind, that somehow You might enable us to be able to reach some to come to know Christ as Savior. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for this class today, for these that have come. Lord, I pray now as we go into the worship service that the Spirit of God would lead and guide and direct our pastor, the singing, the specials. Lord, if there's one in our midst today that's lost, I pray somehow today You might save that individual before it's too late. We'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.